Georgia Virtue presents the Let Me Tell You Why You're Wrong podcast.
Thank you for downloading episode 313. This week we have Elbows on the Clock, Crazy Lady Stuff, Prison is the Bomb, Screw John Foster Dulles apparently, Biden's Ohio Problem, Mo Jobs Mo Problems, the Atlanta judge who said it is too soon for the First Amendment, No Labels, No Candidate, and Biden's Israel Problem. I'm Dave Roberts. With me is my part of this endeavor, Ken Pullen.
Dave, happy late birthday.
Thank you. Happy early birthday.
Yeah, mine's tomorrow. So, yeah, you just had one. I'm having the next one.
Yeah, we went down to my parents' house, which is in Fairhope, Alabama. It's on the eastern shore of Mobile Bay. Went down there for Easter and spent a couple days in their pool. My dad did turn the pool heater on, so you can, nice. You can actually get in it. I mean, my nephews that are about to turn 11, they were in it when it was 76 degrees. I'm like, I'll wait for it to hit like 85 before I go in there. Then we went over to Biloxi and spent a couple days there. And I texted
you. A couple grand.
Yeah. Lost a few grand. But I told you, I think I texted you about this. So Connie was wearing either her Kiss t-shirt or Rolling Stones t-shirt. We're getting in the elevator to go up and change clothes, go to dinner. We had reservations over at the Hard Rock at Ruth Chris. And guy goes, he talked to my wife, nice t-shirt. Hey, listen, I got tickets for, it was Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top playing at the in Biloxi.
Very nice. Not cover bands, the real thing.
Well, Lynyrd Skynyrd is a cover band now because there are no original members.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
But he goes, I go, man, that's really cool. That should be a good show. And he goes, well, I've got extra two tickets. They're seventh row. And I'm just like, and it was my birthday. Like my entire family, just about, my sister didn't make it up. The majority of my family is waiting to go to dinner with me on my birthday. They came over to Biloxi for my birthday. I can't bail on them to go to a damn concert.
So would have been fun, though.
It would have been a great time. The cab driver was making a killing. I was talking to the cab driver because Connie's back. You know, we drove from the Beau Rivage over to the Hard Rock, which is only a 5-minute walk, but just to save her back a little bit. And that's $7, including tip, so whatever. But he said he was making a killing running the people back and forth to whatever stadium, whatever place they were having the concert.
Yeah, I bet.
And like, well, yeah, people have been in the casino all day pounding, quote-unquote, free drinks. And they're not going to drive. And then they're going to go to the concert and pay, you know, $15 a piece for beers. And then go back over to the casino. It's best to go ahead and drop a couple $100 on the cab ride.
Yep, no doubt.
So the Braves had a great weekend. Sort of.
They're on fire. What's it? Yeah, but what was? Yeah, sort of. What was it? Saturday afternoon or Saturday night? They were down 6-0 after the first inning, and then they come back and win 9-8. That was amazing.
But yeah, it went 6-0, 2-6, then it was 8-2, and then just in the eighth inning. It's like, you know what? Oh, yeah, we do have offense.
Yeah, they're playing good. Now, who's a pitcher that's kind of on a DL at this point?
Strider. Spencer Strider.
Strider.
The quad father.
Yep.
You ever seen his legs?
No, we're going to talk about him a little bit more in just a minute.
Dude looks like he squats pickup trucks.
I know, he does. Yeah, his legs are huge.
And I was working with my nephew because he's pitching now in baseball. And I was working with him about he's complaining his velocity is not there, and I said look at Spencer Strider's legs. That's where your power comes from, not your arm.
Yeah, they're huge.
But yeah, Max Fried, second outing in a row, not good. Spencer Strider had to leave early, so I was putting a lot of stress on the bullpen. But we had a lot of opening stuff on sports. Female college basketball championship was.
I know, it was Sunday, today, yeah. Or yesterday, it was yesterday, and Caitlin Clark's Iowa team lost 87-75 to South Carolina, so they said the game, I don't know what the results will be from this finals game, but the semifinals game where Caitlin Clark's Iowa team won was the most watched women's basketball game ever, so she's really brought out a lot of people, like a new people to the sport that are watching her play.
And she's getting a lot of hate for it.
She's getting tons of hate. It's truly amazing that the girl could get that much hate for just playing basketball.
And playing well and changing the game.
Yeah, she's not doing anything that brings attention to herself. I mean, she seems very humble.
She's a spokeswoman for like 10 different companies.
Well, she is on every advertisement. Yeah, she is on every advertisement. So, I don't blame her for that.
So it's kind of like, it was a tag team. Football season's
over.
Yeah,
just watching her play. Yeah. She looks fine.
Kelsey tags out. She tagged in. And now, you know, he was on every commercial during football season.
Yeah, she's on everything.
But no, she seems very nice, very personable. Every interview I've seen with her. And look, I don't like women's basketball.
Well spoken.
I don't like men's basketball. I keep one eye open to it because I saw my Gators lost in the men's bracket first round. It is cool that an SEC team won the women's championship. It would have been cool to see Alabama still in it on the men's side and have an all SEC NCAA championship. Would have been neat. I just don't care that much. It's not that I think there's anything wrong with the sport. It's just I never played it, so I'm not into it. I was always, you know, too short, fat, slow, and white to be good at it.
Right.
But it's one of the commercials is funny. They found another lady whose name is Caitlin Clark, and first time you see the funny commercial, it's funny. After that, it's just, you know, boring. They show it, you know, five times during a game. But I don't get the it's jealousy, and you don't see this. Yeah, you don't see this on the men's side. Men in sports don't get into your contract and how much money you get paid. For them, they'll slap each other on the back. Go get yours, man. Go get paid. The women just are vicious towards her. She's never done anything. She's never accomplished anything. Even a woman whose record got broken, she says, well, I did it without a three-point and with a men's ball, so she didn't break nothing of mine.
I saw that. I agree. Well, we'll talk about sports in more in a minute. I don't know if you saw the eclipse. So as this show drops, the eclipse is coming. I actually played golf yesterday with a guy that works for the FAA, and he said, I didn't realize this, but Delta is taking people up and flying them along the eclipse route so they can see this whole thing, which I didn't realize people spent money doing that, but it sounds like a ton of people are going to, I forget how much, I saw this stat the other day, it said how much money is this eclipse bringing in to local economies along the line of the, you know, the path of the eclipse, and it was like billions of dollars.
Oh, man.
I don't know anybody personally that's going, but it sounds like tons and tons of people are going to watch this eclipse or get into like the line of the eclipse.
You know what's worse than living in Cleveland?
Visiting Cleveland?
Having 2 million people clog your city, take up every hotel room, and not be able to move around in traffic to go watch it turn dark for 4 minutes.
So what's the deal in Georgia? Is it going to be partial here? Like it'll partially turn dark? Is that what we're expecting?
80%.
Okay, 80%. That's cool. What time is it?
I think it's noonish.
Whenever it gets dark outside.
Well, they know exactly when it is. I mean, I saw the last one. That we had a total eclipse. Yeah. I couldn't find the eclipse glasses, so I grabbed a welder's helmet.
Yeah, I'm just going to go outside. I'm not looking up. I'm still confused on how looking at the sun during the eclipse hurts your eyes, but I trust that it would hurt my eyes. I'm not looking at it. I just don't get it. I don't get why this is different.
You still see the chronosphere.
Okay, so it's just like normally work looking at the sun. You could always hurt your eyes if you look at it during a day.
Now, look, if it were that prevalent, we'd have blind people everywhere.
God, no, because there's tons of people looking at it. And actually, I think down around where we live, Davis, can be around 3-ish, it feels like, because my wife's a school teacher. And she was talking about it's going to be at the exact time they release the kids to get on the bus. So I don't know. Yeah, we'll talk about this
next
week.
All over Pike County,
sure.
You have kids in dark sunglasses with canes and a cup. After looking up at the eclipse,
we'll
they'll be blind, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I would spend that kind of money to go watch it get dark for a little while. It does remind me of Carly Simon in You're So Vain. You know, you flew your Learjet up to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun.
Yep.
Which everybody thinks is about Warren Beatty. All right. Yep. So is the baseball pitching clock contributing to pitcher injuries?
I know this is a sports show today. Yeah, I saw this story. It's interesting. So, does everybody know? Well, I'm not sure everybody knows, but how many seconds do you have now to to pitch after the catcher throws the ball. It's literally you're on a pitch clock now. It's like 10 or 15 seconds. So they did this to try to speed up the game. And it sounds like there's been three or four pitchers already this year that have gone out with season-ending injuries. And we've got one of the Braves potentially out also with Strider.
They're calling his a sprain. I got that news today as we record. They're calling it a sprain. So he's on the 15-day DL. They are not calling for Tommy John right now.
So the question is this pitch clock and pitching a lot faster causing these guys to get hurt?
I don't think it's speed necessarily. I think, in my opinion, and my limited stuff with athletics, is when it gets down to 2 seconds, your body may not be ready, but you have to deliver a pitch.
Right.
So I don't think it's the 20 seconds because there are a lot of guys.
Like speeding up the delivery of the pitch probably is what it is.
And you have to start your motion within 20 seconds total, 15 right. seconds of having the ball and all that stuff, something like
and
that.
And the Players Association in baseball is pretty upset about this because the Players Association believes that represents the players. It's the union that represents the players. They feel like these new changes are hurting the players.
Well,
Do we get a compromise out of this at some point?
Yeah, you always had pitchers that were very quick. Guys who would get the ball,
Greg Maddux was a perfect example of that, right? I mean, Greg Maddux would throw an 80-pitch shutout back in the day in a couple hours. It was truly amazing to watch him.
Well, no one got on base, so it didn't take any time. Get the ball, get on the rubber. The guys in the box, I'm delivering.
Yep,
and that was always Maddux, and there's several guys who would pitch like that, and there are guys who, oh man, who was the herky jerky guy that we had for a while, the closer that had to go through this crazy wind up and bend his body like 15 times and Kimbrel I think had the same thing where he'd hang his arm off to the side and stare in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things have sped it up. You no longer have to – catcher doesn't have to flash signs anymore. He hits a button under his knee pad, and it sends a signal to the pitcher of what to throw.
Yep.
But it also takes any pitcher control out of it. And I think that's another thing that they're angry about is if the curveball is hurting my elbow, I don't have time to shake you off. Because you go to step off the rubber so many times before it's called a balk, which happened yesterday. It didn't hurt. The balk didn't end up scoring any. Actually, it did end up scoring a couple of runs, but in the end, it didn't. It didn't. The Braves still won. One of the reasons Ronald Acuña had 70 stolen bases last year is once you disengage so many times, you can't again without being a balk.
You can't do it again.
So you give somebody Acuña's speed, and he's gone, buddy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if the Major League Baseball makes any changes. And it'll be, you know, in year two of these changes, I mean, how many other pitchers go down with season-ending injuries? It'll be interesting to see if this is just like something that's happening at the beginning of the year, or do we see a pattern here where more pitchers are getting hurt? But the overall gist of this, and we talked about it earlier, it's like people don't want to go to a game at 7:30 and sit through a four-hour game. They want a 2 to 2.5 hour game, and that's what the Major League Baseball tried to do, is trying to speed it up because most games are at night, and who wants to drive to Atlanta and spend 3.5 hours at a game and get home at 2 o'clock in the morning?
You also lose eyeballs at home.
Yeah, totally.
And that's where three hours is tough. That's where the money is the
advertising.
There's correlation versus causation. Guys are also throwing breaking stuff that no one threw before.
There's a lot of different
breaking pitches.
Yeah, they're throwing some different stuff.
Yeah, breaking pitches put a lot of torque on your elbow.
Yeah, I mean they're spinning the ball a lot more than they used to.
So plus with the pitchers are used to be told not to lift weights and stuff like that because they wanted you to stay flexible. But so you've got guys who are much more muscular, putting a lot more torque on their joints. And torque that your joint's not meant to handle. And could it all be contributing? It's possible. I mean, I like before we recorded, I was able to get the complete Braves game in before we recorded. You know, we were going to talk at 4:30. Game came out at 1:35. The game, as we drop today, is going to have a big pregame celebration because it's the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's record. So that takes time and all that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. There has to be some sort of compromise in there because I don't like the fact that a runner can just tee off on you once you stepped off the rubber twice.
Yep, so. I agree.
All right, it's the weekly Marjorie Taylor Greene report.
Look, what I don't disagree with her.
What in the Candace Taylor is wrong with her?
I don't disagree with her. Her overall thesis of this, right? But she said it's when she said it, right? So Marjorie Taylor Greene this week, who's a representative from Georgia, she said the recent earthquakes and a coming solar eclipse are strong signs from God that America needs to repent shortly after tremors shook New York City on Friday. And she said, quote, God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent, earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. Green said in a Friday post on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. Look, I don't disagree with her that probably America needs to repent and the people need to. We all do things we shouldn't do, but it's just, I'm not sure she should be the spokesman for telling people to repent.
Also, the guidestones were struck down by God. Lady in North Carolina, the one that works the same command that I did, said that a drag show, the power went out because God struck it down and did it like a drag show. Turned out some crazy people put a bullet in a transformer. This never, ever turns out well. Hire a social media person, hand it over to that person, and stop. Because there are three people in this, three types of people. One that'll be like, hell yes, it's the end times, and waiting for the rapture. There's a joke around Facebook that I'm going to buy a bunch of blow up dolls, and just as the eclipse hits, fill them with helium, let them go, and people think it's the rapture. So then you have people like me, which is, you know, yes, I like you. You're like, yeah, it's a good idea to get right with the Lord, but no, I don't think this is end times. Maybe the fall.
Well, I don't even think I've been to church my whole life. I think nobody knows if you believe in end times theology, the point is nobody knows when that is. So for Marjorie Taylor Greene to go, this is a sign that the end times are coming, is very, she's trying to speak for God at that point. So, I mean, look, nobody knows. It may come tomorrow or 1,000 years from now if you believe in
these eclipses. Have been predicted mathematically for thousands of years.
Yes, we know when they're coming. I mean, this is the first one since 2017. The next one's not expected until August 2044. We know exactly when these will be for the next 1,000 years.
And mathematically, we've known it since Galileo.
Yeah, exactly. So this just Marjorie Taylor Greene being Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's done some good stuff. I think we like the good stuff that Marjorie Taylor Greene does, but I think we can also comment on the wacky stuff she does like this also. And, you know, the Congress is coming back into session this week, and she's the one that filed the motion to vacate for the Speaker, Johnson. So I can't wait to see how that comes out this week. It's going to be very interesting.
In the middle of a presidential race.
I know, presidential race, but, you know, Speaker Johnson, and I don't have anything about him this week, but he's putting together this package for Ukraine funding for a lot more, for many more billions of dollars to go to Ukraine. And it's, you know, he's got to have the Democrats to help him pass that, because I don't think people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Thomas Masseys and Chip Roys of the world I don't think they're on board with spending or sending another, you know, $50 billion to Ukraine when we've got so many issues back at home.
I say it's not just the money. Money is a big part of it. We are also depleting our own ammo stash.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just like when whichever president, doesn't matter which one, starts releasing oil from the strategic reserve. Well,
yeah, and he hasn't filled it back up yet. I've heard all about that last week.
Yeah, it's there for a reason. So,
yep.
She just got, if she could just keep her crazy under control, just like you said, she's not. She makes good points. I agree with her on Ukraine. I agree with her on a lot of points.
Don't you think Marjorie Taylor Greene, at the end of the day, though, if Trump wins again, or I say when he wins again, because I do think he's going to beat Biden, do you think she gets a place in his cabinet? I mean, do you think?
Well,
I think she's a contender, right? I mean, I think she's a contender for some position in President Trump's cabinet.
I don't know.
I mean, she's helped him so much. I mean, she's been one of those steadfast supporters that has never backed down at all from President Trump. So
I don't know.
I think he's got to reward her in some way.
There's two things that go for that. One, she's been very loyal. Two, this is a very safe district. So
yeah, but I think he's got to reward her. You've got to go.
Yeah, we have a Republican governor who would.
You wouldn't say no, though.
No, I would say we have a Republican governor, so that would be protected. Then we have a very Republican district in the 14th. That would be protected. So that seat would go elsewhere.
Colt Moore is the next congressman if Marjorie Taylor Greene gets promoted to some cabinet job.
The issue I have is somebody, and I know nobody's going to go up to Trump and say, look, you can't have her out in front of the cameras. You can't have her representing you and saying it's the rapture.
Yeah, but she's a lot better than, I mean, I don't know if you saw Kamala Harris this weekend talking about women didn't have brackets in college basketball until 2022, which was just a total
only off by lie. 40 years. I think it was
she's only off by 40 years. And then you've got Pete Buttigieg, which is the Transportation Secretary. He's useless. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, Marjorie would be just, she'd do just as good job as any of those yoo-hoos that are in there today. I mean, look at his cabinet. His cabinet's an absolute disaster.
Yeah. But
I think if Trump wins, she gets a job in the cabinet. I really do.
And that'd be fine. That would be fine. But she has to weigh a 4-year maximum job. And Trump is known to get pissed at people and fire them.
I know, but you can't turn down a cabinet position or cabinet ask from a president. There's just no way you can do that. I don't think, anyway.
Maybe not. But once she's out of seat, it's going to be very difficult for her to get it back.
Oh, yeah, you're not getting it back. No, not at all.
And she's not going to be, oh, God, could you imagine her being press secretary?
I don't think she'll be that. I mean, I could see her being some transportation secretary or Department of Interior or, you know, something like that. I really can. I mean, I think she gets a job in a cabinet.
Or a diplomatic post somewhere.
I mean, she could even be national defense. I mean, she could be over to NSA or something. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't discount Trump putting her in that type of position.
She still has to get confirmed.
Like Homeland Security or anything like that. But I mean, it's common. You pretty much confirm the president's nominees to all those positions. That's kind of like a, you know, when it's like in a Georgia House, if a Republican bill fails and they ask to reconsider. Yeah, you usually vote yes to reconsider. And as a common courtesy, I think that's what it is in the Senate, is cabinet picks are kind of a courtesy to let them through. Well, and I think the Senate, I think the Democrat senators will like be, yeah, you go ahead. You go right on through. We want to see this. We want to see what happens.
That's why if she was press secretary, that would be appointment television every day at 10 o'clock.
She couldn't be any worse than the current one. Now, the current one is terrible.
I don't, you know, Biden doesn't give her a whole hell of a lot to work with. You know, so. I don't like her at all, but yeah.
No, he gives her nothing to work with. I agree.
So who knew you could build bombs in prison?
Yeah, let's give credit. This came from Jessica at the Georgia Virtue, but that's where I saw this story. But a man serving a life term in Georgia State Prison has been indicted on multiple federal charges for constructing and mailing bombs to federal facilities. This guy's name was David Cassidy. He's 55 years old. He was a inmate at Phillips State Prison in Buford, Georgia. And he's got all kind of counts against him.
Well, let me give you a couple points on that. First thing.
Please.
How in the hell do you build it? I assume he had access to the cleaning products or something like that. Basic chemistry, you can do it. Secondly, how in the hell does it get
out? How
does it get out of the prison? How are they not?
Yeah, how do you mail? What are you doing? Putting this bomb in a big box and mailing it out? I mean, and are they not checking stuff that comes in and out from a mail perspective?
And the third, the biggest favor you can do for this guy is take him out of the Georgia prison system, which is awful.
And he's going to the federal prison system.
Put him
now,
in a nice, clean federal prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and the jail he was in is now, it's a now closed Georgia State Prison in Reidsville, Georgia. But that's where he constructed these destructive devices and mailed two of them via the U.S. mail to the United States Courthouse and Federal Building in Anchorage, Alaska, and to a federal facility at 1400 New York Avenue in Washington, D.C. So he built two bombs. He mailed them to Anchorage, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. you can't even make this up. I mean,
first of all, I want to know.
I can't believe I read the story on Jessica's page.
I want to know how he had the knowledge for this, because they're not supposed to have access to the internet.
Oh, please.
I know. They have phones and all that stuff.
I know. I think they've got everything they need at this point.
But where are you coming up?
You can be pretty smart too, right?
Yeah, you can be pretty smart. But this guy has no hope of ever getting out.
Yeah, federal prison, that's where he's going to be. That's where he's going now. And there's no parole in federal prison, so he's not getting out. He's done.
Well, and so the federal prison takes precedence over state. So, again, the conviction will stand in Georgia. It just gets paused. Then he goes to the federal system.
And this guy had a rap sheet, too. I don't know if you saw his rap sheet, but it was pages on pages of things that this guy had done to land himself in state prison.
But now he has violated the NFA by creating destructive devices.
Yep.
Several charges for attempting to do it to a federal building.
Yeah,
terrorism
he's done.
Charges. Yeah, he's. But again, he was never getting out. He's going to go to a much safer facility. The worst thing that the federal government should do is say, "Well, we're not going to prosecute him. Take him to Smith State and leave him there."
Yeah, I know exactly.
So I don't know, man. I just don't know how you do it. I don't know how in the hell you it doesn't get caught.
I don't either.
Like, it got all the way to the destination. You know how many failures in line have to happen in order for a bomb made in Reidsville to get out of a controlled facility through the U.S. Post Office and delivered to Anchorage, Alaska?
Yep.
Nothing set off alarms about this. Amazing.
Yeah, it is truly amazing.
So, there's a House group of Republicans that want to rename Dulles Airport for Donald Trump.
Yeah, people don't know where Dulles is. It's about 35 miles due west of downtown Washington, D.C. So, it's out the I-65.
Yeah, yes.
That's where I used to fly into all the time to go to work up in the Chantilly, Virginia area. But
yeah, you can.
Yes, there's two airports. Yeah.
You get three, really. You can fly into Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore, Dulles, or Reagan, which is downtown, which I can't believe they still fly into Reagan. But yes, yeah, so you got three airports. This one's out there on the east side, or actually out there on the west side of town.
But
and
People don't know who John Foster Dulles was. He was.
I've never heard of him. So he's a former Secretary of State under Eisenhower.
He's a World War I veteran. He wasn't allowed to. He was in the Army. He gave a special commission as a major because of his education. He was an attorney. His eyesight was too bad for him to go into combat, so he was given a special commission. He served under Wilson. He also was a special advisor even after. Supporting Dewey, this guy was so smart that Truman brought him in as a special advisor.
Yep.
Eisenhower made him Secretary of State. He was on short list to become Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Very well educated man. Married into or came from a family that had a previous Secretary of State. His family is prolific. In politics, and he was a Republican. Was appointed to Congress as a Republican by Dewey. So you've got a guy who is Republican all the way down the line, even though he served his country with himself when the president comes to you, even though he's a Democrat, and says, hey, we need help with Reconstruction, you do it. He was very much against dropping the bomb on Japan. He was instrumental in Reconstruction of Japan. He was instrumental in the peace treaty, or the treaty of 1953 or something like that, in San Francisco, which established Japan as its own country, ended our occupation of Japan, allowed us to keep military bases there, and assured us that Japan would never become a communist country. He was a huge anti-communist. I'm not talking about Senator McCarthy level, but wanted to stop the spread of communism through Europe and honestly through Asia. Everything that we would want in a Republican now, this guy was. And for educated members of the House to not take a little historical perspective and look and see who this guy was before they fly off and say, well, let's just rip his name off the building. The town that it's in is in Dulles. It's named for him. You know, it's like you could do something like they did with Maynard Jackson. They didn't take the name off of Hartsfield. Hartsfield is still the domestic side, and they named the new international side after Jackson, which I wasn't thrilled about, but Jackson was instrumental in growing the airport as much as Hartsfield was instrumental in establishing it as a commercial airport.
Look, I think I take a slightly different view of, well, not a different view of this, but I don't think we ought to name anything after anybody. I think we've seen enough what happens when we, and it's just like Governor Dill, the new judicial center in Atlanta being named after Governor Dill, less than a year after he left office as a governor. I think we should have learned our lesson by now on naming stuff after people. So I think this is just a bill to get, I don't know, just a Republican. Look, I mean, it's just something a couple of Republicans came up with. It's not going to pass, but I thought it was kind of funny that they tried to rename this airport after Donald J. Trump International Airport.
They're just needling the Democrats.
It's pretty entertaining, but I think we should just learn our lesson on naming stuff after people that are still alive, and then probably even naming stuff after people that have passed away, because, I mean, stuff changes, right? And
give a little time, historical perspective.
Yeah, but like, let's just stop naming stuff after people. Like, just stop it.
Well, yeah, Fort Bragg is now being called Fort Liberty, which I will never call it Fort Liberty. It's always Bragg to me.
Yeah, Fort Benning is Fort Benning to me. I don't know what its name now.
It's named after Hal Moore. It's Fort Moore.
But I just think we ought to stop naming people or stop naming anything after people.
Yeah, they'll find something that Hal Moore wrote sometime in the future that somehow offends somebody, and they'll want to take Hal Moore's name off it. And Hal Moore, if people don't know, is who Mel Gibson played in We Were Soldiers. He co-wrote the book We Were Soldiers Once and Young. Brilliant mind. Hell of a commander. And that's the only one that I really doesn't hurt my feelings that much because I've read so much of Hal Moore stuff. It's one of the required reading that you really get into. Not required just to be in the Army, but required reading if you really want to be a leader and you learn about leadership and you learn from reading Hal Moore.
Interesting.
I don't know. We're just gonna start numbering things. You know, just start using airport codes. That's how I speak.
I agree.
You know, DFW. You know, ATL.
Yep, you know, I know, that's how I speak too.
You know, MCO. Yeah, but we both grew up, you know, in airline families. So Biden may not make the Ohio ballot.
Yeah, this is interesting. So the Democrat National Convention is scheduled to convene on August 19th of this year, 2024. And that occurs more than a week after the August 7th deadline to certify a presidential candidate to the office. And this was Secretary of State Frank LaRose wrote to the Ohio Democrat Party Chairwoman Liz Walters. So ABC actually first reported this. So basically they're saying that, you know, they have to certify who their presidential candidate is by August 7th. And since their convention is not going to be till August 19th to pick their official candidate, then Democrats may not have anybody on the ballot in November for Ohio, and Ohio's a swing. I mean, I think it's Republican at this point, but I think they still consider this more of a swing state, right?
Well, yeah, if you consider John Kasich Republican.
Yeah, right, right.
Look, is Ohio where he didn't even make the primary because he didn't qualify? Is that what's going on here?
No, I think he qualified.
There was one state that he was left off the ballot, and they had a write-in.
Yeah, I don't think it's Ohio is an important state. I mean, he wouldn't have been left off in Ohio.
Well, no, I'm talking about the primary ballot.
I don't know. This story is all over the news. I mean, really, this is not just some random story, right?
How do you mess this up?
NBC News, Washington Post, like ABC News, everybody's reporting on this. And, you know, what they say is that the party or the General Assembly in Ohio can change, the Ohio State Legislature can make a requirement to create an exemption to the statutory requirement by May 9th. So they've got less than a month to change it. I mean, do you really think the legislature is going to get behind this? I don't know. I don't know if the legislature in Ohio is Democrat or Republican, but I doubt if they're going to make a move either.
They can't do it unilaterally anyway. It still has to go to the governor. How do you mess this up?
How do you mess this up? I don't know. I can't imagine he's not going to be on the ballot.
There's no way this happens.
Look, the Republican Party controls the governor, secretary of state, attorney general, and both chambers of the state legislature. So there's no way Republicans will get behind an effort to change this.
You're talking about...
I still can't see Biden not being on Ohio ballot in November. That would be crazy.
You're talking about multi-billion-dollar organizations here. They have full-time people that do nothing but look at election science. And I'm not talking about they do it in election years. This is what they do all the time.
Yeah,
how do you mess this up? How do you not? I don't understand how, if you were talking about, I don't know, what's a solid red state anymore? Alabama.
Yes. And if Trump wasn't going to be on the ballot in Alabama, yeah, or even in Georgia. I mean, I think Georgia's solid red now, but... this is crazy that Biden may not be on Ohio ballot, which has a lot of delegates.
That would be serious repercussions. That would be very hurtful.
Yeah, I bet his campaign staff is trying to figure out what to do here.
And look, you can't even chalk this one up to Biden. You know, even if Biden doesn't know what's going on from one day to the next. This is DNC. This is DNC. Yeah. This is at the top. Of the DNC, all the way down to the person who runs copies. What the hell are you thinking?
I know.
Now, look, I'll take the win, just get Biden out. But understand, any of these dirty tricks, and good on the Secretary of State of Ohio, even though he's a Republican, of not keeping quiet on this.
Yeah, he could have not said anything.
Because I guarantee you, if it were the other way around, you wouldn't hear a peep until it came out on Newsmax, and then no mainstream media would cover it.
Right.
So you can't move the convention at this point. The logistics of moving up just to get the delegates there. These are people who have already taken time off of their real jobs. These are people that have booked hotel rooms, airlines, coming from all over the country, and honestly,
I agree.
Other parts of the world, they have delegates from Puerto Rico. You've got a few coming from Hawaii. You got people who've booked very expensive airline tickets.
And no, they can't move. The convention's not moving. I mean,
if you can't get the Republican legislature to push something through in a month, which I debate on this. Would take a month. And I don't know what their session looks like, but if we're...
I don't think they're going to move it through. Why would they want to do this? This is DNC screwed up. I mean, they're not going to do it.
Even for Georgia.
They're not going to help them out.
Even for
Georgia. Yeah, Georgia wouldn't help them out.
Well, no, you'd have to call a special session to do it.
Yeah, but I'm saying Georgia, Republicans in Georgia wouldn't help them. I mean, I wouldn't blame them. They screwed up. DNC screwed up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to help them get on the ballot.
Yeah, I mean, you knew the rules of the game, and you decided it didn't apply to you.
Yep.
All right, like I said, mo jobs, mo problems. American economy adds more jobs.
Yeah, which is so crazy because, you know, as they started raising interest rates last year, and this is kind of bass backwards thinking in me, right? That the point of raising interest rates was to really hit the job market. And they wanted to see they really want to see layoffs in a day. So, you know, when the Fed started raising interest rates, the point of that is they wanted to tamp down the economy. They wanted the job market to not do so well. And they actually wanted layoffs to come around. And the labor market just continues to defy expectations here. They added 300,000 more jobs in March. That was well above estimates of 200,000.
Well, what you have to think about here is they are hurting the private sector to make up for what the public sector did. It started with Trump's $2,000 checks. I'm not excusing what he did. And continued with the COVID money. All this free money.
I mean, they're trying to make pay. They're trying to hurt everybody else.
Yeah.
To get this inflation under control.
Yeah, in order for us to stop hurting from all the free money you pumped into the economy, you have to get people fired.
Yep.
And what happens when people get fired? They go on the government dole. So the goal here is to put more people on the government dole in order to slow the rate of inflation so that milk is not $10 a gallon.
Yeah, and it's not working. And you know, they said there were going to be 7 interest rates drops in 2024. Now they're down to, they may have 3 interest rate cuts in 2024, to there may not be any interest rates cuts this year. So it's going to be interesting what happens over the rest of 2024. But the job market is still hot, which is just defying all expectations at this point.
And Trump needs to get in front of the National Realtors or whatever association, because those folks are hurting because houses aren't moving. You're not selling a house with a 2.5% interest rate, buying a house that's 3 times the price for the same square footage. At 3 times the interest rate, just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's true.
And as many of my realtor friends will go on Facebook, go, oh, just get a flexible rate when it comes down, refinance it, just get the house you want.
You don't know that's going to happen. That's the problem.
First of all, the Fed has no control over mortgage rates. Mortgage rates are tied into the Treasury bills. So as people move money away from Treasuries, Treasuries have to increase their rates to make them look more attractive to get people come out of the stock market and into T-bills. That's the only way you can get the T-bill rates down. T-bills are what drive mortgage rates. The Fed prime lending rate, is what you pay your credit card bills on. It's where you make money on your certificate deposit, your savings account, your checking account. That's that rate. That's the Fed funds rate. So that's directly related to that. There's a correlation between mortgage rates and the Fed funds rate. There's a correlation, but there's no direct cause and effect with it. The Fed funds rate are, okay, if I were to buy my truck today that I bought in 2019, it would cost me $30,000 or $40,000 more, and my interest rate would be twice as much.
Yep.
So, again, we'll start seeing those – and we are seeing the slowdown in the economy with the vehicles, because Ford is beside themselves. They can't get rid of these electric cars. So they're going to have to drop the rates or drop the prices on electric cars or start giving crazy interest rates where they're taking a loss just to move the damn things off the lots because people don't want them. And again, that's government interference. So Judge McAfee, that's the judge that is in Atlanta that's hearing Trump's case from Fannie Willis, came down with another interesting ruling. And once again, he gave a very good explanation.
He does give a good explanation on his rulings, but he said that President Trump's attorneys had tried to say everything that basically Trump said was covered up under the First Amendment, so he couldn't be charged for any crimes because of that. And the judge said that wasn't basically, this is in my non-lawyerly speak, that argument wasn't going to fly.
Well,
he said even court political speech addressing matters of public concern is not impenetrable from prosecution if allegedly used to further criminal activity, the judge wrote.
But it wasn't just that. What I read into it was you can't counter an argument that hasn't been made yet. It's an indictment. Now, if Fannie and whichever lackey she has actually doing the speaking for her, make that argument, then they can counter with it. and move for dismissal at that point. But the argument has been made yet. It's, all they have now is grand jury indictment. And basically what he's saying is he can't throw out a grand jury indictment when the prosecution, and this is why prosecution always argues first, hasn't made their case yet. So if they come down and say the phone call, and then they can move to, if everything ties back to the phone call with Raffensperger, you could make that, he can make that argument. And it may or may not work at that point, but at least there is something that they're arguing against. Now, I happen to disagree with them that political speech is not impenetrable. It absolutely is. It absolutely is. That's the whole point of the First Amendment, is we had people committing treason in taverns in,
yeah, right,
in 1775. And honestly, going all the way back to 1770 with the intolerable acts and the stamp tax and all that. So all that was treasonous. It was all political speech, and it was all held in smoky taverns and whispered about. But that is the intent of the First Amendment. The First Amendment isn't so that you can pull up porn at will, even though it's been applied that way. It's designed specifically to protect political speech.
Now, that's true.
This is a good time to remind you that these are our opinions and not those of anyone not on the show or any respective company for which we may work, own, or otherwise associate ourselves with on a regular or irregular basis. Also, you can find other episodes and relevant stories over the GeorgiaVirtue.com. Kenny, you got the mule.
Yeah, I guess my mule this week is this No Labels political party. I don't know if everybody heard about this, but No Labels political party, they've actually gained ballot access in 21 states. They were this group. They call themselves sort of the moderate, independent people in the middle. They've actually been searching for a political candidate now for the last 4 or 5 months. They went really hard after Jeff Duncan, who used to be the lieutenant governor of Georgia, who served 4 years. They went after Chris Christie, so they were trying to find some high-profile person to represent this No Labels political party. And they finally have hung it up and said they're not going to move forward and they're not going to field a candidate in 2024 election.
What they've admitted is they were going after Trump.
They were going after Trump. And I think what they figured out is they couldn't find a candidate that would pull votes away from Trump and help Biden win the election. Almost everybody they've tried to figure out who would run would actually pull ballot or pull votes from Biden and help Trump. I think that's what caused them to just pull back and say we're not going to put anybody on the ballot.
Well, this exposes exactly what they are. It's not no labels. They're Democrats.
Yeah, they're Democrats. I mean, they're people that hate Trump, right? This party has been like a anti-Trump party for a while. And I listened to an interview with Jeff Duncan. He said he seriously considered running. He just couldn't see a way forward where he could raise enough money to actually be a viable candidate.
He also would just be hanging himself politically.
Well, I think he's done that pretty much by signing with CNN and, you know, going after President Trump. But it lends itself to, like, Robert Kennedy now is the kind of the third party candidate out there that I think Democrats are worried about, because I think they think he will pull enough votes from President Biden that Trump could slip in. Now, there's other people that think Kennedy's going to pull votes from Trump. I think he's going to pull votes from Biden at the end of the day, though.
Look, it's 1992, and he's the Democrat version of Ross Perot. Ross Perot pulled directly from HW. Pulled very, very few votes away from Clinton. Very, very few.
Yeah, that is true.
Because he's a multi billionaire. I think he set a rocket into space. I mean, the dude was Elon Musk before Elon Musk was Elon Musk. He was a very, very smart man. Annoying, you know.
Yeah, he was annoying, but yeah, he was very smart.
But so this is a repeat in reverse of 92, where the Democrats were celebrating Ross Perot being in there, even to the point where you had Admiral Stockdale in a three-way debate with Dan Quayle and Al Gore. And same thing, he had enough to get on the stage. And that's what you're seeing with Bobby Jr. is he's polling enough to get himself on that stage.
He is.
Now, my advice to Trump is same thing I said to Marjorie Greene, or saying about Marjorie Greene, turn the crazy down from 10 to maybe 6. And let Biden and Bobby go back and forth and let them start hitting each other and then try to say something somewhat reasonable instead of just standing on the stage and going, wrong, wrong.
Yeah, I think Trump will. I hope he will anyway, but we'll see.
Well, I'm for his level of money, my consultation is very, very cheap. I'm sure the Secret Service knows how to find me if they really wanted to.
Right, right.
All right, so Biden criticizes Bibi Netanyahu for airstrike, but he did the same stuff.
He did. So this was a couple weeks, or actually last week, U.S. President Joe Biden said on last Tuesday he was outraged and heartbroken by an Israeli airstrike in Gaza that killed 7 people working for the Rural Central Kitchen, and he called on Israel to do more to protect aid workers. He said Israel investigation incident must be swift. It must bring accountability and its findings must be made public, Biden said in a statement. And this has been, I mean, I don't know if you saw last week. I know you were on vacay, but this was big news last week when these aid workers got killed by an airstrike.
Yeah, I caught up a little bit. It's hard after drinking White Russians all day to then turn on the news and concentrate on it. Remember, you can't drink all day unless you start in the morning.
That is true.
Yeah, Bailey's and coffee in the morning. Time doesn't exist in a casino. So what's going on is this happens in every conflict. Yes, it happened in Afghanistan. Bill Clinton blew up a aspirin factory. And you want to talk about these aid workers knew where they were going. And look, the Fox News journalist that lost an eye and a leg and all that stuff and lost his cameraman and their translator, I feel for them.
Yep.
But you have to also acknowledge they knew they were going into a war zone and went enthusiastically.
They did. I feel terrible that this happened. Now, the point I was trying to make is Biden was so outraged that this occurred. But, you know, back in when we were pulled out of Afghanistan, Biden had an erroneous airstrike. And it's not him personally, but it was the military of the United States. He killed 10 civilians, including 7 children. So while he is all over Israel for doing this, he did far worse back in whenever we pulled out of Afghanistan by killing 10 civilians and 7 children. So this is nothing that, and even Obama, I don't know if you remember Obama, he killed people with airstrikes. He was one of the worst ones from a drone perspective on taking people out. So, I mean, the false like outrage of Biden going against Bibi and Israel for what they did when he's done the same thing or worse, it's just ridiculous.
First of all, I would play the sound on tape or the video of him chastising Trump about Netanyahu.
Yeah.
I know Bibi Netanyahu. I've known him for 40 years. He's a personal friend. He just tried to pull the Jack Kennedy thing that I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. You are no Jack Kennedy, sir. He tried pulling that. The same tricks come out over and over and over again. If you research history, you're going to see, you watch it repeat itself over and over again. But this has nothing to do with killing civilians. Look, it's collateral damage. It's a war. I'm not saying it's excused. You look at the collateral damage from World War II. It's amazing, especially with the British and French doing nighttime bombing. At least, you know, the Americans did daytime bombing, try to get on their targets a little better. But thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent people died during World War II as collateral damage.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And wars are horrible, and there's tons of collateral damage in Ukraine. It's horrible. You hate to see civilians get killed, and you certainly hate to see civilians who are trying to do good, who are trying to help people get killed. You hate it.
I know.
But it's a war zone. You're in a war zone, and you have to understand you take a certain risk. When I talk about Clinton in 94 or 95, when he hit the aspirin factory in Iraq, saying it was a war factory, those people were just going to work that day. They had no idea there were cruise missiles heading in.
I know.
So, you know, I kind of say, you know, the Palestinian civilians who, you know, have nothing to do with Hamas, I feel bad for. I certainly feel bad for, because they're in the last little island of place where they're safe. But when you see the bombs going off and you see the combat and you think that this little Red Cross, and I know it's not, theirs is not a Red Cross, but you think a Red Cross is a red crescent down there is going to stop a missile. No, no. And it's, and it sucks. And you get bad intel. The biggest oxymoron in the world is military intelligence. You get, yep. You get bad intel and you make bad decisions and things happen in a war. And to say that Israel doesn't have the right to continue to defend itself and remove the scourge of these terrorists from within their borders is absurd.
No, I agree.
This is Biden doing his best to
appease his like left base.
Kiss the butts of both sides. Like, oh no. I want the Israelis to be able to defend themselves. Okay, you liberals are cool, right? Oh, I ticked you off. No. But they shouldn't be doing that.
No, he's in a bad spot with his with some of his base, because they want a ceasefire. They want they support Gaza and they support Palestine. Yeah, I mean, he's in a bad spot with his base.
Yeah, he's a horrible spot because his base is bifurcated.
Yeah,
and I think that's why you're going to see a lot of the pro-Israel people move over to Bobby Jr. I don't necessarily think they're gonna pick up and go straight over to Trump, but I think you're gonna see those people start gravitate over to RFK Jr. and start and the bifurcation. One of the two of them, either you support Israel, and you're gonna see the Palestinian supporters start move either not vote or move over to Bobby Jr. Or you're gonna force a ceasefire, and you're gonna see the pro-Israelis go over there. You know, we've seen a fractured Republican Party for a decade, well over a decade now. And what we're seeing is a bifurcation of the Democrat Party. And it's late in the game to start healing it. This is not a Band-Aid. Yep, this is major surgery that they have to perform and figure out where the soul of their party is. All right, Kenny, as we're winding down, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I just actually realized that as the show drops, it's a week before April 15th, which if you're like me, I haven't filed my taxes or sent my money in that I owe to government. So I hope everybody gets their taxes done this upcoming week and sends their, because if you've waited this long, you obviously are not getting a refund. So good luck getting your taxes completed and sending your check in.
Well, my accountant has my paperwork. I'm waiting for the phone call the next few days for the bad news.
Yeah, I had like $8,000, and they gave me a penalty because they said I didn't pay enough throughout the year.
Nice.
So not only that, I had $8,000, they gave me a $300 penalty. Yep, so that's awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah, lucky me.
Yeah, speaking of congratulations, I don't know if I mentioned on the show, Matthew Rollins, the DA in Paulding County, has now been appointed Superior Court judge to replace the retiring Judge Beavers. Matthew is a Marine veteran, used his GI Bill, went to school, got his undergraduate, then went to, I think, Mercer Law School, as I recall correctly. So possibly the smartest Marine I've ever met. And that is a very low bar. It is a very low bar. But no, Rollins is a super good guy. It's well-deserved. He's very well-versed in the law. He is a very fair-minded man. He's worked for the Paulding County DA, even becoming acting DA after the Dick Donovan debacle, and handled that with grace and class, and put that office back together when it was falling apart, when it was on fire, people were leaving because of the scandals and stuff. And when he became DA and then was reelected as DA, really put that office back together into a functioning unit. So well-deserved. Congratulations, Honorable Matthew Rollins. So,
cool. Very nice.
On that, thank you very much, Eric Cumby, for taking our very late audio and getting it out for us. To Ken Poland, my partisan endeavor and representative emeritus, I'm Dave Roberts. We'll talk to you next week.
catch me howling at the moon.